Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. It's so good to have you again today on the show. Some of you are new, I guess. So welcome to the Voices of Courage show, where we help you see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. Today, I have a very innovative thinker on my show who's going to help you to shift your paradigm, shift the ways that you see this world so that our world can come together in a more unified, welcoming, kind, understanding place. What a cool thought that is, isn't it? Imagine our world that is so separated by politics, by environmental issues, by issues around poverty, by issues around health and welfare of every, you know, everybody's divided in all these issues. You know, what's going on in this government and that government, and what war are we fighting next? What, you know, it gets a little chaotic, doesn't it? So what if you could think about one thought that could change everything? And that one thought is how you change yourself, you change the world. That's it. Change yourself. You've done what you need to do to change the world. So I bring on innovative thinkers like my very special guest today to help you to rethink the programming that you've been tuned into from birth. Okay, the socialization that you've been tuned into by your teachers, your peers, the commercials, all the Google that you searched, all that, and help you tune back into what? One thing: truth, understanding, courage, and wisdom. If you can get that right, your life can be better and better. And by the way, so will your family's life, and so will your community. And if your community's life is better, your world will be better too. That's what we're talking about today. So I hope you enjoy this conversation. I hope you will listen to it a few times because it's going to be deep, and there are going to be ways that you can really apply some of the principles we're talking about in your life. All right, I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to have my very special guest. Are you ready to transform your life and get what you really want? Hi, this is Ken D. Foster, and over the past 30 years, I've helped thousands of people change the course of their lives by doing one special thing daily. This is the foundation of my latest book, The Courage to Change Everything. It is the ultimate guide to awakening the transformative power within you to get what you want. In this book, I'll teach you exactly how to unlock your hidden potential, break through your limitations, and get what you want, no matter what's happening in the economy or things beyond your control. So why wait? Get your copy of The Courage to Change Everything right now at couragetochange.us. That's couragetochange.us. There's no risk to you if you're not fully satisfied that this book has supported you in getting what you want, just to return it for a full refund. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. It's really good to see you, Alexander. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me be with you today. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
I'm really looking forward to it, too. You know, you've done so many amazing things in your life. And, you know, after reading your bio, getting to know you a little bit over the last couple of weeks, it's just been a pleasure. It really has been a pleasure to understand some of the things you've done and how you've really stepped up and made a difference in, I believe, in a lot of people's lives in this world. For those of you that don't know Alexander Laszlo, he is a PhD. He's the president of the board of directors of the, why don't you say the name of the institute, because I'm going to butcher it.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? His name is Ludwig von Bertalanffy.
Bertalanffy. Bertalanffy. Bertalanffy. Okay. Anyway.
Bertalanffy with an F. Yeah, oh, you got it. It's okay. Good.
All right. Center. I'm so glad I had you do that. Center for the Study of Systems Science. He's a director of research at the Laszlo Institute of New Paradigm Research and doctoral faculty in sustainability leadership at the Fielding Graduate University. As professor of systems science and created Curated Emergence. His research and teaching is focused on evolutionary leadership, collaboration, systems thinking. He's the author of over 100 journal, book, and encyclopedia publications, and is a sixth degree black belt in traditional Taekwondo. Welcome to the show, Alexander Laszlo. You got so much
going on. Ken, thank you so much.
You got so much going on. Where did you find time to get the degrees, teach, step into all these different institutions that you're working with? Where do you find the time to do all that?
I don't know. It's almost as if the time finds me. Yeah. You know, I mean, this is the thing. If I were to plan this out, I'd be like, I can't do all that. I'm not going to do that. But, you know, I think this is part of what I hope to be discussing with you today a little bit about how do you navigate all this? And I think if you overplan it, then you end up getting stuck. But how do you flow it without it being random? I think that's the art.
Yeah. Well, you know, that really is the art. And a lot of people get stuck in the details, and as opposed to looking for the synchronicity and what's showing up and taking the steps towards that synchronicity. Has that been your experience?
Well, I love that you use that term there, synchronicity, because I work with these three terms. Synchronicity, which I love that. The idea is, you know, you can't make a synchronicity happen. You know, you can't be like, okay, I'm going to make this thing happen, this coincidence, right? Yeah, no. But what you can do is be prepared for it. You know, like the old Boy Scout saying, be prepared. So you can be, it doesn't mean being on the alert all the time, but it does mean noticing and not dismissing stuff. Like that happened and that happened. Like, oh, wow, that's just a coincidence. Who cares? That doesn't mean anything. But really listening, like, what? Wait a minute, what's going on here? Is there something in this synchronicity that is meaningful, that is giving me an opportunity to be, to think, to feel something else, right? Is there a message here? So that's, I think, the power of the synchronicity, and Jung used it a lot in those ways as well. But then there's the second term. So there are three terms here. So synchronicity is the first, and that's where you can just sort of like be open for them. But syntony is a term that not many people use because it's just not around very much. It does exist. You can look at it. It's in the dictionary, but it just means aligning radio frequency emission patterns. Like, it's not very exciting. But other authors like Barbara Marx Harbord and Eric Jansch and even Teilhard de Chardin use this concept of syntony to talk about how do we align with those synchronicities and then consciously, purposefully, intentionally create that kind of tuning in to those dynamics that creates greater synchronicities, or at least a potential for them, right? And that then leads to the third thing. Okay, because you can actually, you can't create a synchronicity, but you can align yourself with these patterns. And that's what syntony is all about, the syntony sense that I write about. And that leads to this last thing called synergy. Synergy is a more used term, but still pretty technical. And that is where, you know, two things that come together create a third thing that is more than either of them could have done by themselves. You know, like if I try to lift up a table by myself and you try to lift up the table by yourself, but together we can do it, right? Yeah. And this is where, you know, none of us is as smart as all of us. That's the synergy that I think comes out of that flow.
Well, I love that. And there's another term that comes to my mind, which is coherence, right? Where we become as we flow, as we become aware of the synchronicity and the syntony and then create that synergy, there's a coherence that flows in our life.
Absolutely. I mean, I think this is so important what you're touching on here, this idea of coherence. And in a way, it's coherence and consistency. There's a connection to this snail trail of evolution, you know, this pattern that you can see. If you can see that, you know, part of what you're doing, Ken, is helping people make the invisible visible, right? And helping people see with the stuff that's going on around us, a lot we just don't even notice. And when you can start to see those things and see the patterns, and then you could, that's the coherence that you're looking for. And the consistency doesn't mean that it's like all the same. It just means that it's connected to, it's like, it's this red thread, the snail trail. It's this thing that allows us to weave ourselves in what this guy, Theodore Holmes Nelson, calls intertwinglement. It's just, I love that word. It's a delicious word. It's, I think it's nicer than entanglement, because entanglement is what happens to my beard in the morning. But you know, I want to comb it out. But intertwinglement has a little bit of magic to it. You know, it's a little bit of beauty.
Well, you know, and applying these principles, because, you know, you and I were talking, you know, that you're getting married, you know, second marriage. I was telling you, you know, I've been married 25 years, my second marriage. And, you know, the for me, you know, first marriage was awesome. There are a lot of great experiences with that. But if I look back and think it through, it was there was some beliefs inside of me about what I should and shouldn't be doing. You know, it's a young kid out of 20 years old out of college. And, you know, what this marriage should be and shouldn't be, what she should do and shouldn't do. And a lot of this created not synchronicity, no synergy, you know, not much coherence. It created a lot of chaos, and it created a lot of misery and suffering, which ultimately related, you know, what ultimately happened for me is I left that marriage. And then I had to take the deep dive. I had to look, like, I had to start to look at the character that created that mess. And I think that's part of what we're, you know, when I'm thinking about, we're going to apply this at the macro level a little bit. But in the personal level, you know, if we want to sustain and thrive, we really have to start to look at the character that has created the disharmonies and tune back into what's natural, which is what we just described. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think that's so important, because what we do so often is we don't take the time to tune back in, as you're saying. You know, this is to use that synteny sense. And yeah, this is one of the works that I've been working on with the Laszlo Institute, is about sentience, you know, trusting our sense ability, our ability to sense into what is emerging, and then to listen for that. A lot of what you're also working on promoting and fostering in your work and in your shows is the ability to really listen, deep listening, right? To really listen to what's going on here. But we're so caught up in this, in the rat race, right? Of being able to just, you know, make a living and do what's right and be seen and do our social media and get the likes or whatever. That is, we stay at the superficial level. We don't really tune in to what's more deeply going on.
I've got to take a break, Alexander, but when we come back, let's take a little deeper dive into that, into collective intelligence, connective intelligence, that intuitive smarts that we're talking about here, you know, empathetic intelligence. Let's take a dive into that piece. I think my audience will love that. All right, we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I hope you are enjoying this show as much as I am. I'm talking with Professor Alexander Laszlo, and we're talking a little bit about a whole bunch of things that all lead to the inner awareness of us. So collective intelligence, let's start there with collective, you know, collective thinking, collective smarts. You know, is thought individual, is thought universal?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, poets have written about this and many of, like, it's a deep question, right? But what we're starting to see is that we're all, well, I use this term intertwined, right? And we are all interconnected in the deep. And this is this coherence that we're finding out. And the Laszlo Institute is big on exploring, you know, even this, the Akashic field that informs all of our actions and interactions. We don't operate as separated units. It appears to be that way, but really we're always mutually informed, not only by each other as human beings, but by nature, even by our ancestors, and even by future generations now. There's all the time in some kind of field that informs our being. And so the thing is, we don't tend to listen into that. We're like, no, the Western mind is so filled with this self-righteous independence and this strident individualism that we go, yeah, it's okay. I do my thing, you do your thing. But frankly, even right there, we're saying there's an us here. And that's, you know, once we start to live into that, we can be much more in that flow that we were talking about earlier.
Well, it brings to mind when we live into that, there's this kindness, I would use that word, or this understanding that, we become a little more emotionally intelligent because we start to understand that if we're all connected, you know, what I'm doing to me, I'm doing to you. What I'm doing to you, I'm doing to me. There's a piece of that we could start to understand at a deeper level than it's just me against the world.
Exactly. I mean, I think we can backtrack a little bit from the collective intelligence, which is kind of like this ideal. Everyone talks about this. How can we like be, you know, the super intelligence? We bring in AI as well and all of that. Okay. Collective intelligence. But to get there, the previous step is connective intelligence. Mm. And that's like a little bit understanding that we're in an embedded field. Our ground state is intertwined, or what the physicists called entangled, right? It's our ground state, right? And it's not an illusion that we make independent choices. Sure, we make our choices, but they're always in some way connected. I don't say determined by, but connected by the field that we're in and others and so on. So there's the connective intelligence, knowing who to connect with, who to interact, what resources, what databases, that's the connective intelligence that you can leverage for collective intelligence. But there's even a previous intelligence before connective intelligence. And you were just touching on that right now. And that's empathetic intelligence. That's the care why competency. That's the ability to say, you know, okay, it matters. I'm not just seeing everything as, you know, a utilitarian in a way that I can use it for some instrumental end for my own benefit. I'm seeing, how does this create greater abundance? How is this life-affirming, future-creating, opportunity-increasing? And for me, those are kind of the value base for this collective intelligence. But you need to start with empathetic intelligence and augment your ability to say, what is seeking to emerge here? What is the story that is delicious right here? And how can I feed that delicious story and not the story of that is not delicious, the one that's toxic, the one that's not going, how am I feeding that? in my actions and my thoughts and my beliefs?
Well, you know, I was searching through TV last night. I was trying to find something to watch on Netflix. And as I was going through it, it's just one violent movie after the next. I'm thinking to myself, you know, I don't want to put that in my consciousness. It's not really where I want to go. And, you know, there's a reason for that, right? I think it was Tesla that said, Nikola Tesla, that said, if you want to understand the universe, understand frequency and vibration. And, you know, it's like when I tune into those lower frequency, like bang, bang, shoot them up, me against the world, let me blow up the next car or person or house or whatever. It just, at the end of that, I walk away, and I think a lot of people do, drained. I feel like, you know, I want to go to sleep or leave. I don't even want to be here. you know, so, but I think, so there's a part of us that has to, I think, be empathetic towards ourself and start to allow that empathy to flow over in the daily things that we're doing in our world. What say you?
You know, you're getting onto exactly this question. What feeds you? You know, and what are you feeding? You know, that old story like the of the two wolves inside your head, you know, and which one are you going to feed, right? The one that has the angry voice or the one that has the hopeful and helpful voice and so on. So which one do you feed? But that has a lot to do with what are you tuning into? And I like to think of the human being as a tuning fork. It kind of sounds a little weird, but we're all human tuning forks. Like, what are we tuning into? And when we tune as a tuning fork, we resonate. There's the coherence. So we're cohering with something else, some other pattern. And in doing that, we're augmenting that pattern in ourselves and in others. So if we're tuning into stuff that's full of violence, you know, it feels sometimes when I watch the news or if I look at that kind of show, I feel I want to take a shower. I want to clean this off of me. It's like, ugh. It's like this is toxic, right? And so we take physical showers if we've been in the mud and stuff, like we wash ourselves off. But how do you then cleanse yourself from being in a toxic? Somebody just shouted at you. They were really mean to you, or they were being pushy, or you just watched a show that was full of that. It's important, I think, to be able to take a moment to also do that. You know, that shower to clean yourself off spiritually, emotionally, and just to be feeding yourself with some healthy vibes. Sounds a little hippie-ish, but the point is, yeah, we are tuning forks, right? What are we going
to
be
tuning? What are we tuning into? Well, I like to take a shift when we come back from break. I like to go into the systemic innovation that you're on the cutting edge of. Talk a little bit about evolutionary leadership. What we can do to step into that and up-level this world in a much greater way. So we'll take a quick break. And we'll be back with Alexander Leslie. We have enough information. Just Google it or AI it. What the world needs today is courage and wisdom. The courageous ones have moved us forward. These are the fearless, the ones with determination, the resilient ones. They have grit and rise to meet the challenges and opportunities. They encourage, empower, and enlighten us to all glow up, shift our thinking, and step into our greatness. Yes, these are the ones who have led the way. Now, listen to the courageous ones of today and step into your courage. Welcome back, everybody. I'll be right back with my guest, Professor Alexander Laszlo, in just a minute. I want to take just a minute to let you know that there is a book out there that if you're trying to change your world, change your life, there's a book that I wrote. It's called The Courage to Change Everything, Daily Strategies and Essential Wisdom to Awaken Your Inner Genius. What's your inner genius? What we're talking about. It's tuning into those higher thoughts that are within you so that you can start to manifest what you want in the world. That book will help you do it. You can get it at courage2change.us, courage2change.us. All right, back to Alexander Laszlo. Alexander, all right, systemic innovation, evolutionary leadership. Let's move in that field and let's see where we can go here. How do we create systemic innovation? Let's talk about that.
Well, I think this comes in, well, I get into what that is, but it all comes to me from the idea of we're living in a world that is pretty challenging. You know, I mean, just to navigate our social and physical reality these days is, well, I think it might have always been this way for humans, but partly because we feel ourselves as being disconnected. But when we're in this, you know, we see what's the news bombards us with all kind of stuff. And then the fashion, we're supposed to have this, and then we're supposed to be just to be able to make a living and just to be able to survive in today's world is challenging. So how can you do that with grace, with art, with ways that don't have to step on other people's toes or on nature's toes or on your own toes in the process? So I think this is part of what some of the scientists called a VUCA world. VUCA is an acronym, and it stands for a world that is characterized as volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. So we live in this kind of world now. It's hard to know what to do. You think you're helping with something, and it actually makes things worse. So how do you navigate? Others write about this as RUPT, R-U-P-T. It's the same thing. It's rapid, unpredictable, paradoxical, and tangled. I mean, look at these descriptions of our world. And people feel like, okay, well, this is the world I'm living in. What do I do? How do I make it work? And this, I think, is what we're coming to here, Ken. It's not about so much forcing it to work. It's about knowing that there is a coherence pattern that we can tap into if we listen better. And this process is, it's, you know, becoming available for this, allowing this process of coherence to work through you. It's not about letting go. I love this analogy, Ken. It's the difference if you're floating in water, and I was just now visiting my parents in Italy, in the Mediterranean, the salt water, you can float in it. It's great. But there are two ways of letting go. You can either lie back in the water and just completely let go and abandon, and you'll sink. You will sink and you will drown, right? That's not the letting go we're talking about. There's also letting go that allows you to float with the waves as they're coming, and that you're actually participating in the waving of the Mediterranean, of the ocean, right, of the sea in this case. And so this question of, are you available, not forcing things, but harmonizing. We talked about syntony before, about this human tuning fork. How can you tune into what is seeking to emerge using your empathetic intelligence, then connect with those dynamics which feed and foster life-affirming, future-creating, opportunity-increasing dynamics, and then create those pathways through conscious synergy and synergetic engagement? This is what systemic innovation seeks to do. It seeks to find ways that create greater opportunities for people and life to have greater opportunity to keep thriving.
We're so aligned in that. And the, you know, last 30 years, I've been teaching people how to slow down to succeed, how to tune into their own truth, to their own truth, right? You know, stop. Yeah, I mean, if you need more information, Google it. But if you want truth, you might want to tune in to what's going on. And that's what Alexander's talking about here. Tuning in, allowing yourself to contemplate, allowing yourself to be in a space where the next steps unfold instead of you driving and pushing them. Sometimes, of course, we need to drive and push. But so often when we're in this, I'd say, coherence, a synergy, It's flowing for us. Synchronicity is the word I was looking for. It's flowing for us. That's what I get. And that listening, again, what are we listening for? Well, we're listening for the answers that will apply to whether you're creating the next doorknob, okay, or light bulb, to the answers of what's the next step in your life that's going to empower you, take you to the next level. That's what I get when we're talking about this.
I love that, Ken. I think that's, you know, we're talking about this particular time together here, we're talking about, you know, how to change your power paradigm, right? And I think that's exactly it, because if you are changing it by saying, "Oh, I'm gonna make this, I'm gonna force this. This is my plan. I'm not listening to what's going on around me. I'm just gonna make this thing happen here." It's like, we talked about relationships before. It's like forcing love. You can't really, right? That's not truly love. Then. Yeah. But you can create the conditions for love to flourish.
Yeah.
I think this is the same thing in all dynamics of our engagement. If you have a power paradigm that says, "I'm going to impose this," you're not going to be in that kind of flow that you're talking about. You know, I mentioned I do the martial arts. So at times in the martial arts, and anyone who does sports of any kind, I think, gets into this time when they're in a zone. You know, they talk about that, being in the zone. And you're like, "I'm not actually doing what I'm doing. Something is moving me. I'm almost like," it's a sense of being in such flow with what's happening at the moment that you're not making anything happen. You're just in flow. But the moment you start thinking about it and analyzing, saying, "Wow, look at, I'm just," you're out of it. You snap out of it. You can't overthink these things, but you can learn to tune in and to flow. And I think that's exactly like what we were talking about with this shifting in the power paradigm. It's about making yourself available. And that involves slowing down and listening, but making yourself available to these dynamics and then thinking, "Am I tuning into dynamics that are negative and violent and whatever? Or am I tuning into dynamics that are, yeah, life-affirming, future-creating, and opportunity-increasing?" And that does take a bit of conscious attention, right? But it's still about being part of, not forcing the change, but learning how to be part of the narrative that's unfolding and singing your song in that narrative, in that piece, without imposing it, without saying, "Okay, my tune is the only one that counts."
Yeah.
So harmonize.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I've been a triathlete for 20 plus years, and that when you're talking about being in the zone, you know, usually when I start out, let's say I'm starting out riding a bicycle, right? I'm thinking about all the making sure that the computers are turned on, the tires are ready to go, the shoes are clipped in right, the balance is right, the speed is right. I'm looking at my heart rate. I'm doing all those logical things, right? But then there becomes this point where I let all that go. And I become just I allow myself to be just the observer of this experience. And I get, and once that piece happens, we become the observer. We step back out of it, and we're just observing how we're going through this. And the more we observe, the more synchronicity that seems to flow in this pattern. So I think that paradigm. Because there is a paradigm shift from "I'm the doer" to "I'm the observer." And there's something even coming through the observer that is observing the observer observe the doing. It's an interesting place to be. But that's the zone. And when we are in this, I want to talk a little bit about being a full spectrum, elegant human, right? Full spectrum. So we're in this place where we are, we have all of our senses, but we have something more than our senses that's guiding us through this. If we're just in our senses, we're very limited, in my experience. But when we can start to tap into those higher realms of consciousness, the senses become even more alive, and we become much more productive, much more tuned in as a human. What's your experience around that? And let's go down that path for a little bit.
Great. And I think I can, start with one comment, and then I'll tell a little story, if I may, for my life around that. But, you know, it can seem like weird that you could know more than you can know, or you can sense more than you can sense. Like, what are you saying, right? I mean, but I think this is what you're talking about right here. I think it's very important, because when I was studying chemistry in high school, I remember this. I remember the teacher came up, and he had a beaker, and he had like warm water, and this isn't the story, by the way, it's another story. And he was pouring into the warm water, like, I can't remember, sugar or salt, but something that was dissolving. He was stirring it, and it was kept getting dissolved in the water. He'd like disappear. He'd pour it in, it would disappear. Right. It got to a certain point where he poured in a little more and it wouldn't be absorbed anymore because he talked about saturate, the water saturates, the saturated solution. But the water would still hold the salt, let's say. It would hold it in suspension. So you start to be like murky water. You could just see, but it's no longer so transparent. You could see it. But he poured a little more, then the salt would crystallize out and you would see it just form at the bottom of the beaker. It just couldn't be held. But that intermediate point, he called it as being a supersaturated solution because it was holding more than it could hold. Like, wow, that's kind of neat. Because it could no longer hold more. It couldn't absorb more, but it could still hold it in suspension. That kind of way of being, I think we can be supersaturated humans, right? We get pushed over the top and we get overwhelmed, overload, and we can't process anymore and whatever. But there's that place where we can be in flow, where we can know more than we can know because we together, we can, like, right in this conversation, we're doing it, Ken. I'm like getting ideas and thoughts that I would never have thought of myself. But because of you, because our interaction here, something else is emerging in me. Where does that come from? That's a collective intelligence process that we're giving birth to, we're giving rise to through our interactions. And I think that listening in for creating those conditions, not involving debate, where I'm going to prove my point and I'm not going to listen to you really. I'm just going to see how I can override you. That doesn't create any super saturated situation. That just is winner or loser. But we can create this dynamics in our conversations with nature, with ourselves, with each other, that always builds for this. Can I tell this one little story about this?
Actually, you know what?
All right.
I'm going to pause real quick.
I want to
take
a workshop.
Take a quick break. When we come back, I want you to tell that story, and then I'm going to...
Good. We'll do one to get back.
Let's back into a conversation a little bit about systems and AI and what we're talking about here. So we'll be right back.
Cool. We'll do that.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena-sensitive care pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck. Fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster, and we are currently talking with Alexander Laszlo. Our show is The Courage to Experience a Paradigm Shift. And I'm thinking some of you are experiencing that right now as we talk. I know we are. I love what you said about the synergy we have going here and how things are shifting even as we talk. Go ahead and tell that story.
Well, yeah, I mean, it exactly has to do with this. I used to live in just north of San Francisco in a small town called Sebastopol, California, and at one time there was this woman who was a shaman who came through. She was from Burkina Faso, in part of the Dagari people of West Africa, And she gave a workshop, and I was like, "Oh, I gotta take this workshop! So cool." Sabonfu Somme was her name, Sabonfu Somme. And at the beginning of the workshop, she went around and asked everyone. It was like it felt like an accusation. She said, "Why are you here?" It's like a little bit like that. I'm like, "Oh, I paid for this, and I, you know." But like, she wanted, "Why are you here?" Okay, so I said, "I wanted to learn how to dance." And so she looked at me because this was not a dance class. I said, "No, I want to learn the dance that the universe is dancing. I want to learn how to dance the way birds in a murmuration of starlings, they move without running into each other. You know, nature keeps doing that. And I feel like, don't do it. I feel like I'm stepping on nature's toes, stepping on other people's toes. Heck, I'm stepping on my own toes. I want to move more gracefully through life, not just physically, but just do that flow stuff." And she said, "Okay. Tell me if you've changed your answer by the end." And then we did the workshop. And at the end of it, she came back and she asked everyone again. And I had changed my answer. It wasn't so much that I wanted to learn how to dance the dance that the universe is doing. I wanted to learn how to be danced by the universe. There's a small difference in that between learning to dance and learning to be danced. And I think this is part of that power paradigm shift. Because when you're dancing, you're like, "Okay, I'm in control. I'm going to be doing this. I'm controlling everything that's happening around me and my steps and that stuff." But when you're being danced, you've got to listen. And then you're in flow. Again, it's the difference between floating on the water and sinking. You are actually, when you're being danced, you're not just letting go completely. You're still doing your stuff, doing your thing. But now you're allowing this to flow through. There's the power. Allowing that, being in the zone that allows it to flow through you.
There's the power right there, and I would to frame it in letting go of being the doer to dancing with the doer. It's that piece.
I love it.
And you know, this is a really important piece for what's coming about right now. We have shifted in the last 2 years to the age of AI, artificial intelligence. Whether you shifted or not is a different story, but the AI is here. And what we're talking about here is so important. AI is wonderful right now for doing duplicatable tasks, okay? Driving a car or riding, doing a truck or duplicating anything that humans can duplicate. AI is really good for that. And by the way, you know, there's a lot of positions, you know, whether you're a copywriter or a movie producer, or a lot of things are going to be augmented. In many ways. But what we're talking about right now is the collaborative connection of, we're modeling that for you right now, this collaboration that we're going back and forth. And collaboration and being able to connect with one another is going to be extremely important in the coming decade. Where we are coming together collectively to work to one another. AI won't replace your collaboration, at least not for a while. But this is an important piece because if you want to have coherence in interpersonal, as you would say, trans-species, trans-generational, pan-cosmic relationships. If you want to have that, we're modeling that right now. This is where we're going with this.
I mean, yeah, I use those five dimensions that you say. You know, there's the intrapersonal, like how are we with ourselves? Are we being coherent? Are we being in good relation with ourselves? Okay, that's a whole world in and of itself. And the people who spend lifetimes practicing that kind of meditation and practice and so on, and then there's interpersonal coherence, right? Do we have a dysfunctional relationship? Is there sabotage, intrigue? I mean, no, right? How do we do it that is really, you know, has that synergy that we're talking about? That's interpersonal. So intrapersonal within, interpersonal between. Then there's transhuman. How are we with our natural world, right? Are we in flow? Are we paying attention to that also? Are we in harmony? Are we part of a web of life, or we just see ourselves as separate? And then there is the transgenerational, like, am I in conversation with my ancestors? You know, I should be. I should be. I'm not happening all of a sudden here out of context. I'm happy because there was a whole lineage, not just of humans, but of ancestors of all beings. And I'm a future ancestor right now. I'm an ancestor in training, right? And so Am I thinking about future generations? Am I in conversation with them, even though they aren't born yet? Am I thinking about what kind of future I'm leaving them? So that's a conversation. That is. And then there's the fifth level, which is the pan-cosmic, the idea that planet Earth is part of a much larger narrative. We're a speck in a big unfolding process of the universe. Like, we don't often think about that. It's like just Earth. That's all that matters. And, you know, there's a bigger story. Frankly, if Earth got wiped out, we'd care, but it wouldn't make much of a difference in the rest of the universe. So, wow, think about that. We're like, wouldn't it? Come on, wouldn't it? We're a speck. But we do contribute to the overall being in the universe. We do. And we are formed by it as well. So this is, you know, this notion that the Laszlo Institute, we're pursuing now, this idea of the sacred mission, humanity's sacred mission. How can we be part of this big narrative that is in the cosmos right now? How do we listen into that and align all five of these dimensions, the interpersonal, trans-species, and trans-temporal, transgenerational, and pan-cosmic? And I think this is part of the exploration. I do that on my site.
For my listening audience right now, if you go to alexanderlaszlo.net, Alexander Laszlo, LASZLO.net, you can find out a lot more about Alexander Laszlo, what he's up to, the institutes that he's part of, including the Laszlo Institute, and a lot more. You know, one of the things, we're out of time, man, but I got to put on the screen before we leave. There is a wonderful book that Alexander has been part of. It's called The New Paradigm in Sentience and Consciousness. The New Paradigm in Sentience and Consciousness. And I believe, where can they get that book, Alexander?
It's on Amazon. So you can get it. Yeah, sure.
I encourage you to go do that. Go check it out. There's so much more that you and I did not cover. But here's what I love. We talked about in the beginning about helping people to shift their paradigm around their own personal power. And I think we've done that. I think you've contributed tremendously to that. What I encourage my audience to do is go back, listen to what we're talking about, listen to some of the terms that have been used here, look them up, start to understand what those terms mean for you and your family and your community, and I think life will get better and better. That's it, man. I gotta go. We're out of time, man. What a great show. Yeah, one final thought. Go for it.
One final thought. Just to share with you, Ken, look what's on my chair over here, right? This is the idea that you can be the systems you want to see in the world. Like Gandhi said, be the change. But you need to be part of larger systems. So what I like about this is it says, be you in the world. But it also says that the systems want to see. And there's your empathetic intelligence. What are the systems? What are you a part of that wants to see? And how can you be part of that narrative? So that's the power, it's the shift in our power paradigm.
Thank you so much, Alexander, for being here. I hope you come back and we have another discussion like this. Powerful. Thank you so much. And thank all of you for being here. I appreciate you. Remember to pass this show on to your friends and family. That's how we grow. Go and subscribe on YouTube to our shows so you don't miss any of them. Until next time, see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and you will be able to do the impossible. Take care.